All right, we just heard Sarah Sleen's song Drastic Measures. The next track is Smashing Pumpkins' 1979. Tell us about that.
Sure. So this song reminds me of a little bit later on in my life. So I was, after I graduated high school, I grew up in Ajax, by the way, and then I moved to Hamilton to go to McMaster. And I was studying science. I was studying music as well, but I definitely, when I was late teens, early 20s, I'm still early 20s. I don't know why I said that. When I started at McMaster, I definitely felt a lot of pressure to kind of go the science route in my career. The whole quote unquote real job thing. But I was also playing a lot of open mics and kind of performing, doing little solo performance things. I was writing my own songs. And it was the summer between terms, maybe after my first year or second year at Mac. And my dad, who's always enjoyed listening to a lot of music, he was playing a really cool song on the stereo. And I walked in and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. And he's like, oh, it's 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins. And it was, it just struck me how cool the song was. And it had this really interesting guitar riff that, first couple of listens, I was really fascinated by how that guitar hook seemed to make the song more so than the actual lyrics. And it was kind of just interesting to me to see kind of, to me, I feel like they complement each other and one is not more important than the other. And I was just jamming with this song, and I just thought to myself, I've been doing a lot of solo performing, but I'd really like to be in a band. I'd really like, and that was when that thought kind of entered my mind. I'd really, really like to play in a band and do something that sounds like this, that just wants to make you like groove a little bit more. And eventually, I saw at McMaster, I think the year after that summer, there were some ads around campus for looking for bandmates. And so I answered this ad, and the guy who had put up the ads, his name's Zach, we've remained really good friends, but he and I and a couple other people from McMaster started a little cover band together, and we played rock songs, and it was... The way we started was everyone kind of suggested two songs that they would like to cover, and 1979 was my first suggestion. So we got to play that song a little bit, and that was just so exciting for me because I love that song. So I played around with that rock cover band for about a year, I think, before I moved on and kind of started focusing on my solo project. But I think about that song and being in my first band and playing pubs for the first time and just learning from that experience about how to manage a band from my friend Zach. And then I went on, and when I formed my own band later on, I took a lot of what I learned from doing that and applied it to my own project later.
So perfect. Okay.
That's the memory I have of 1979.
All right. Well, why don't we spin that right now? Here's Smashing Pumpkins, 1979, on the 3 for 30.
Ride above the street.
All right, that was 1979, Smashing Pumpkins. Hey, Alex, thanks for taking the time for doing this, by the way.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The final song is from Coldplay, Up and Up. Tell us about that one.
So I've loved Coldplay for a very long time, since high school. They've never made a song that I didn't like. this one in particular, though, it's kind of like a pick-me-up song for me. And I think I've known it for, I discovered it maybe a year ago. I'm not sure how old the song itself is, but it's kind of the meaning behind it, in my own interpretation, it's just kind of about, you know, putting in a whole lot of work and going through disappointment, but then, and just kind of reaping the rewards of your efforts at the end. So it's a never give up kind of song. And for me, in just through my life, one really important skill, I think the most important skill that I have is just this attitude of, you know, walking myself through disappointing situations or failures or rejections, and just kind of always remembering, having an attitude of, okay, like, it's up and up from here. You know, today sucks, but we'll go back to it tomorrow kind of idea. And music plays a part in kind of getting myself through periods like that. There are lots of little examples, but this is one of the songs, probably my go-to for when I just need a little bit of encouragement, I guess.
We all need that once in a while, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we spin Coldplay right now, Up and Up, here on the 3 for 30.
Driving it again, searching for the water, hoping for the rain. Up and up, up and up. Down upon the canvas, working in a meal, waiting for a chance to pick an Irish field. Up and up, up and up. See a bird form a diamond in a rough. See a bird soaring high, but the flood is in your blood. In your blood, underneath the storm, an umbrella is saying, sitting with the boys, it takes away the pain. Up and up, up and up. Up and up, up and up. How can people suffer? How can people part? How can people struggle? How can people break your heart? Break your heart. Oh, yes, I wanna grow. Yes, I wanna feel. Yes, I wanna know. Show me how to heal it up. Heal it up. Oh, you see the
love. When the going is rough, say, we're gonna get it together right now. We're gonna get it. seen a Picard driving it again. When you're in pain, when you think you had enough. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up.
An old friend is on the line with me right now. I'm kind of excited about the whole thing. We never really get a chance to chat that much. The last time I saw him, we were sitting down in a gathering, and it was Gene Champagne's wedding from the Killjoys.
That's right, yes.
And we were laughing and laughing and telling stories about different bands and who we ran into, and it was a really fun time to catch up. My old buddy Dave Fritz on the line. Dave, welcome to Steel City Music, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Good afternoon. A quick question: Did you have the salmon or the beef?
I had the beef, but thank you for asking wedding. It was a wonderful wedding. We had such a good time. You know,
it was a good time. I had the salmon; it was delicious, but it repeated on me. But that's, I'm not going to blame anyone. That's my own problem.
That is your own thing. Okay, so I guess we should do a quick backgrounder on Dave Fritz. When I first met you, it was actually the early 90s, and we hired you to be a guitar tech for the Killjoys.
That's right.
But even before that, I would remember you coming out to shows at the Corktown when we were just in our early 20s and checking out the live music scene. But I don't think you were in a band at that time, were you?
No, I wasn't. I think I was. I dreamt of being in a band, but no, I was. I guess I was just learning. I was learning what's going on, and
I was a bit
younger too. So that was my first kind of like the Corktown was like my first exposure to like what was it on commercial radio. I think I was volunteering like at CFMU as a student kind of thing, and it opened my eyes to like, wow, there's a whole other thing going on that I had no idea about. So
right,
those were pretty. Formative years.
Those were perfect. Yeah, those were perfect years for you. And then you did the Killjoy thing for a while, and I remember you getting really into post-pop rock kind of vibe. And then we you know, you went off and you got married, which I'm glad you did, because if you didn't,
you
would have been murdered by everyone involved, including your wife and the Killjoys. Everyone would have killed you. And then I kind of lost track of you after a while. But then you started coming back, and you were like playing guitar, and you ended up actually starting up a band with Gene Champagne from the Killjoys, Junior Achiever. Is that right? Now, am I right in there? Were you in like
because I had moved to Toronto for work around that time, which is probably why we kind of lost touch. And I was playing in a band there, and then
What band were you playing in there?
It was a band called Sometimes Wise. They were kind of like it was a three piece originally, and I joined, and it was they had three albums at the time. It was kind of like a post punk kind of vibe along the lines of like Shellac and that kind of like discordant kind of thing. And then Gene kept calling me and playing me the songs over the phone. And I was like, damn, these are great songs. People need to hear them. So we spent a lot of time. I would just sort of come into Hamilton, and we would sort of sit around, just the two of us, kind of work on stuff, and then complain about how we had no one else to play with. And that went on for a little while. Porch days, we would call them. We would just sit on Gene's porch and complain.
Yeah, those are perfect. Okay, and then Jeremy Knowles and some of the other, the bass player. What was the bass player's name again?
Steve Scott.
Steve Scott, another nice guy. He had the beef at the wedding. But anyway, so that project ends. Gene leaves Junior Achiever, and then you carried on with another project back with Jeremy. And what was that called?
That was right. That was called Ramona.
Ramona, and
we
right.
We did two EPs over the course. I have twin boys, so that kind of slows down the process. So I think I did two EPs over 8 years or something crazy like that. So,
yeah.
And we did a bunch of shows in the beginning, and then...
And then kids. That happens. So you're on track to be doing all this post-pop punk music. You're enjoying yourself. The releases that you've always put out with whoever you were working with were really solid, solid music. And then you just, you know, as you said earlier, you got twin boys. So you kind of like, you kind of disappeared off of my radar for a little while there. And then now I discover Droid Osaka.
Yes.
Which is a little bit, my first time hearing it, I like the songs that are only like 2 minutes, almost 3 minutes at the very most, which is perfect for pop punk or pop rock. But it has that, it has this sort, to me, a sort of a commercial viability sound to it in radio.
Right. Thank you.
So tell us about Droid Osaka. What was the genesis of it? And was it just you on everything, or did you bring people into play on this EP?
So Droid's kind of gone through a few different incarnations over the last few years. And we moved back to Hamilton from Toronto about 5 or 6 years ago, and was just trying to find something local. And I wasn't having much luck finding anyone to play with at the time. I'd been away. I was kind of out of the loop. And so I just started doing things on my own. And I had this original concept was that I was going to, it was going to be like a punk dance thing. It was going to be like a drum machine, bass synth, and guitar. And I had this idea that if I can't find anyone to play with, I'm just going to show up and do a solo show with these backing tracks. And that idea lasted a little while, but never quite materialized, I think, because I need I need at least two other guys on stage making noise for me to get up there, probably is what part of the problem is. So, and then it kind of, I sort of rethought that, and I thought, you know, stick with the organic roots and have live, you know, musicians and live drums. So, a lot of people have helped me out. So, majority of the songs, like four of the five songs, is Jeremy Drury, who's the drummer for the Strombellas.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of mine, so he did me a favor, and he's a phenomenal drummer, and he played on a few of those tunes. And then one of the songs, I Don't Like You, is through Junior Achiever. We had gone to Japan and did a tour there and met this, we were touring with this band called Shakalabbits, who we then brought back to Canada to do a tour here. And anyway, they added, they basically kind of co-wrote that song with me. And so the drummer and writer, Ma, he plays drums, he plays bass guitar on that. And then Uki, who's the lead singer, she's providing backing vocals, and they kind of wrote the whole middle eight section. So basically it's just a lot of people doing me favors at this point.
How long did that take?
Too long, because again, it's you know, I kept thinking, okay, like I actually like had the whole thing done with this idea that it was going to be like a drum machine and a bass synthesizer and a fuzzy guitar and me shouting. And I kind of I actually shopped it to some contacts in Japan, and they were kind of like, don't really like it. It's too dancey, or whatever it was they didn't like about it. So that kind of made me go back to the drawing board. So I probably did this EP three times, probably. So I probably completed it three times over 3 years. So 3 years is the answer. Almost 3 years.
3 years. So it's strange, the backstory behind it, because with some artists they go, okay, well this is what I'm doing. This is who I am, and they don't change one iota of what it is for anyone else. Others
right.
will take a moderate approach to like, oh, I see what you're saying. It could sound this way, and it's still true to my original intent. Now, is it, the reason why you did these changes for the people in Japan, is it because of your background of learning that, you know, that music does change its original content more than it stays the same?
Yeah, I think part of it is the fact that by trade I'm an audio engineer, so I think it would have been done three times if I had to pay for it and went in and ran out of money and then it's done. But I think it's this constant like, well, maybe if I tried this or tried that, or and then as that time goes by, I listen to something else going, oh, I love what they're doing. I want to kind of like, you know, it inspires me to try something else, or
right.
And partly it's maybe other people's opinions too. It's like I do value that. I mean, I don't, you know, there's that idea about, you know, you make music for yourself and not for other people. But it definitely does. You know, constructive criticism makes me rethink things sometimes, and you know, sometimes you have to go too far, I guess, to realize you're already where you're supposed to be or something.
Right. You do. That's a great line. I like that. Say that again. Say that line one more time.
Sometimes you have to go too far to realize you were already where you were supposed to be, or something like that.
You're listening to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunnar, here. My special guest right now is Dave Fritz from Droids Osaka, and we're talking about the EP that took him close to 3 years to actually put it out.
Keep your expectations low if you're like, oh, 3 years, to do this 5 songs, it must be incredible.
It must be amazing. But three years is I've heard where it does take a long time for some. Like some artists I've spoken to, they're just like, they end up writing the song. And as you just said, you're an audio engineer by trade, so you kind of have to take what the client wants and make it or mix it or frame it to what they have in their mind. But also, with some of the artists I talk to, they're always going, I can make that better. And then they re-release the track. But was any of that the case with these songs, or was it just the audio engineering part for you?
Probably twofold. So I actually work in TV and film, and I think part of it was the reason why it took so long is because the last thing I wanted to do when I got home at 8 o'clock at night was to fire up Pro Tools and start messing around with songs. I just wanted to watch Netflix.
So you're tired, yeah. Mentally, tired, yeah.
So that's part of it. Yeah. Let me do anything else besides stare at waveforms. And then part of it is just, it's funny. When it first started coming out of Ramona, which was kind of not unlike Junior Achiever, it was, you know, pretty produced, lots of stuff going on. I had this idea where I wanted this next thing, whatever it was going to be called, to be really bare bones and raw. And that was how I started. And then I can't help myself. I start adding 9,000 harmony vocals and backward cymbal hits, and just, I can't help. The producer side of me just like takes over, and I can't stick to my original plan of keeping it raw. That's Gene Champagne's fault. He taught me all that.
Oh, did he really? Just the attic kind of thing?
We did that Junior Achiever record, and we would just spend, you know, lonely weekends in a studio, and I learned so much from him. Just ideas,
right?
Just those little things that we had this thing where it's like, if we weren't sure if a part was loud enough, and we would completely take it out of the mix so you couldn't hear it, and we would bring it in until you could like just begin to hear it, and then we'd pull it back. Just like these, like, you know, just little bits of things that you feel more than you hear.
Mm-hmm.
I learned so much from Gene making that record with him. So he's a super talented guy, always has been, and he's a great songwriter and has great ideas. And he just hears it in his head. Drives me crazy. I would be slaving over something for days, and he'd call me and he'd be like, I had 5 minutes between work and dinner, and I wrote this. And I'd be like, oh, man, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate you for having some talent and everything.
Yeah.
But that's,
I mean, I would just...
Yeah, but that's sometimes as a result of being too self-critical or insecure about your work, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's probably a big part of it, too.
Right.
And that's why I sort of like do a little bit and then kind of send it to some people whose opinions I value and kind of like hear what they say, and they basically massage my ego a little bit, and then I...
Sure. Now, is that, like, that whole, but what you just said there, that's like, you're using a collective, which
sure,
which consumes time. Has there been any thought of just you and having one outside ear, just one person being a producer of Droids Osaka?
I would love to do that at some point, if we get back to a point where we can all get together in the studio again. I would love to do something like that. Just have someone else do right, all the heavy lifting and just let me focus on... singing out a key and tuning my guitar. That'd be great. I'd love to do that.
All right. And if it was one producer, and don't say Gene Champagne, if you stroked the little guy's ego enough,
yeah.
Is there anyone that comes to mind of some of the stuff you've heard recently, or maybe in the past, that you go,
well,
I would love to have this person produce?
I missed the boat on Rick Ocasek, obviously. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
But do you know who, actually, speaking of local people, and I just heard something he's done recently, is Tim Hevesy, who did the first Killjoys record. And I think
you mean
maybe he had
Tim, who put the heavy back in Hevesy?
Yes.
Cool.
Tim Hevesy. I would love to do something with him, because I'm just thinking of the work he did with, and was never released, with Crimson Jimson. he just has some great arrangements. I love his production. And
I thought that album was released, was it not?
I thought it came out. It was a different recording. I think there was a single that came out of the session they did with Tim, I think, yeah. And it was on some like pop compilation. Oh my gosh, it would be almost 15, maybe 20 years ago now. But I just love his ear. He just has a really great ear for stuff. So there's someone I'd love to work with. So Tim, as soon as this thing is over, I think we're making a record together. Hey, this is Dave from Droids Osaka. Check us out on Bandcamp, Instagram, Facebook, Droids Osaka. And the album's going live Monday, July 27th on Bandcamp.
feeling so insecure. You're sleeping in Hollywood, the city that was built by the insecure. You ran so far away. I picture my Sand in my ears, soapbox kids.
CIOI 101.5, The Hawk.
Kicking around without you by my side makes me feel alright. I start this day as new until I wake up, find myself in a breakup. Today ain't gonna be great, but we can ride this through. You know that I need you sometimes, and I hold on to why. It don't matter what my reasons are, I still do love you, and I choose you, and so why don't you choose me too? No, it's no mistake, no. It's not even a lonely day, and I want you. So why don't you want me to change, babe? My bitter, cold, and dark days are staying away when I see you. And your beautiful ways, and to be idle, stop or go, I don't know. But if you're thinking about leaving me, no, 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 we can't get through this, just let us do this. Well, I need you sometimes, and I hold on to why. It don't matter what my reasons are, I still do love you, and I choose you, so why don't you choose me too? And it's no mistake, no, it's not even a lonely day, and I want you. So why don't you want me to change, babe? My bitter, cold, and dark days are staying away when I see you. And your beautiful ways, and to be idle, stop or go, I don't know. But if you're thinking about leaving me, go, go, go. We can't get through this, just let us do this. Well, I need you sometimes, and I hold on to why. It don't matter what my reasons are, I still do love you, and I choose you, and so why don't you choose me too? And it's no mistake, no. It's not even a lonely day, and I want you. So why don't you honor me too?
All right, Hamilton.
Hey, welcome back to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunner, here on a fine Friday afternoon, and it's sunny outside, and the weather's fantastic, and you know I always do this in my intro, that I have no idea what's happening, because this is a pre-recorded show now, because for about 6 months now, we can't get into the radio station. So for 6 months now, this is what we can't do. Well, I mean, we could have, like last week, a little bit before, but we could go out and go shopping, but I had to stay 6 feet apart from you. how to put a mask on. I'm cool with all of those things. All right. Now, if I want to go eat or drink somewhere, I can go on a patio. That's cool. Life is starting to come back to normal. Oh my God, this is crazy. Music is starting to happen around Hamilton again. Who thought? There's like a club over here opening up, a patio reopening. Some shows are happening. People are still doing shows online. And then lo and behold, it's coming down the pipe. Here it comes, folks. Live from the Mule Spinner, Laura Cole. It's her birthday on September 25th. I'm sending her messages. Laura, are we going to talk about this? Laura, when's a good time? Laura, finally get a hold of her. And what does Laura say to me on the phone? Laura, say it right now.
Absolutely. And you mean about talking about like the
25th?
The release party.
What happened?
Yeah, the 26th. Well, you know, as we're all aware, it's COVID time,
mm-hmm.
and it's been the weirdest thing probably everybody will ever go through.
Yeah.
And as we all know, you know, restrictions were kind of whittled down again.
Last week, or a couple of days ago, they changed all the parameters again.
All the parameters again, which, you know, is a huge bummer because I did have this amazing release show, which... You know, I have so much fun playing live. It's a lot different when you're trying to portray this entire thing to a screen and not knowing how
right.
people are
yeah.
handling it. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to read the room when you can't see anybody.
But
but you know what? It's all good. We're going to have a release party at some point for this, you know, when we all can get together again.
Yeah.
We basically canceled the event just because if, you know, I couldn't live with myself if something had happened. And plus, you know,
well, nobody
really needs a $10,000 fine.
No, no one needs a $10,000 fine. And, you know, I get it too, as a citizen and everything, you know, and as a live music fan, as an entertainment fan and a booster of Hamilton music and arts and everything, I look forward to the fact that things were starting to open up again. And there was it's like a ray of light. I get it. Right. So,
for sure.
But you're right though. I mean, can, you know, say if you still carry on with the event and, you know, and it was like you had 100 people there, that sort of thing. You're selling tickets and then it just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And if someone got sick, there you go. Aside from the fine that would happen.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, money is money, but when you're playing with people's lives in a way, and I just, I didn't really feel comfortable to follow through with it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my band members are older.
Right.
You know, like my dad. In my band. So.
Well, that's a very important point as well. You know, you got to look out for your family as well. So we have.
Exactly.
Yeah. We had the live music that was done at the Mule Spinner. When was that? When was that recorded?
That was November 30th in 2019.
In 2019. Yeah. And how did you put all that together? What was the inspiration of going down there? Was it Steve Deeps bugging you saying, come on down and do this? Was it Glenn Marshall? Who was it?
Yeah, Steve actually did reach out to me and, you know, offered to host us at the Mule Spinner. And it's always been such a beautiful building. You know, I know Glenn and Bob very well. And I was at, you know, Brantford Arts Block. We go back to that time, at least Glenn and I do. And I've known Bob my entire life. So when I got the opportunity to play at the Mule Spinner, I thought it would be so perfect because, you know, it's a beautiful room. I spent my entire year last year traveling. I wasn't home. I didn't play any shows besides this one. And
well, I would see these odd pictures on Instagram and it come in on my feed and it would be you, I think, in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, and
Seattle.
Yeah, you were in Seattle and you had this little guitar and I'm like going, wait a sec, where is she? What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm just getting my TP visa last year, and I lived in New Orleans, sunk myself into that culture and the music vibes. I mean,
right.
New Orleans has always been one of my favorite places. I really got to sink myself in there. I lived there for 5 months, and then I moved out to Seattle, where I did have some shows as well.
¶¶ safety net. And settling always somehow turns into a regret. You don't have to bet it all. Just give a gamble, even if it won't leave you standing tall. And sift all the possibilities. That leap of faith just might make you fall down to your knees. It doesn't have to turn out well. At the very least, you'll have a story to tell. Nah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And play your part, get lost, go out or wander. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living. Goal that's out of reach. It seems I'd sense that once inside for me. And this globe's your oyster, pearl. It takes all sorts of people to make a perfect world. With an optimistic attitude, what you put in can make aspirations come true. Fortune favors the bold, but your time's worth more than the highest carat gold. Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And play your part, get lost, go out and wander. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living, and risk love. You could be able. You should have a light heart. And you could be noble, yeah. A masterpiece of art. And you could be adored. You left so much unexplored. Take a chance for romance and always wanting more. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living, and risk love. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And play your parking lot, go out and wander. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living, and risk love.
Sorry, this album here, though, that you recorded live, was this, were these songs a culmination of your travels, or were these just songs that you had in your back pocket before?
It's actually a collaboration of my first record, Dirty Cheat. Mm-hmm. It's a mixture. I also have one song that Harvey Summers and I wrote alongside Chris Charkos for the UK album called Human, which was super, super fun. And then we also have a mixture of part of my unreleased album, the Piece of Paradise album. I like to call it my long overdue release, which will be released in early spring next year. But yeah, everything, there's kind of, you know, all of my works kind of wrapped into one, plus a few cover tunes with my favorite artists.
Right. But these albums, though, over